Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Carol Reimers. She is president of the League of Women Voters of Connecticut. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
We are approaching 2 weeks until Election Day, and Connecticut is doing a lot of things differently this year because of COVID-19, including sending out absentee ballot applications to everyone. And a lot of folks have taken the state up on that and are asking for those ballots to vote by mail this year. How are things going so far?
Well, I think they're actually going pretty well. We know that there's already been record numbers of applications sent back and ballots to be sent out. So I think that maybe having a primary sort of practice session was a good idea, that we were able to do that. It wasn't all the voters, but I think people got a chance to try it out. It's still something we want people to be very careful about, how they fill out their ballot once they get it absentee, because it's a there are a few places that we want to people to be aware of that they could get caught out, in particular signing the inner envelope. Sometimes people forget to do that. And so we urge people to be very careful, follow the instructions carefully, and before you take it back and put it in the drop box or mail it back to your town clerk.
You talked about signing the inner envelope. What are some of the other pitfalls that people have to watch out for if they're voting by absentee this year?
I think that, again, the instructions on the inside, make sure the ovals are filled in well next to the candidate that you want to vote for. Because unfortunately, unlike when you vote in person and you have what we call a spoiled ballot, you can't turn it in and try again with your absentee ballot. So, make sure that the inner envelope is sealed and dated, and you sign next to the X, and then put it in the outer envelope. The outer envelope is there to protect your vote. Make sure it's more secure, and then you can either drop it in the mail or take it to the drop box in your town. Many drop boxes are located right near the town or city hall. And in some of the cities, there's some extra drop boxes located.
We've also heard from town clerks that you can only put one ballot in per envelope. So if you have a spouse or something, don't mail both ballots back in the same envelope, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. That's another thing that sometimes happens. People think, oh, we'll save postage. But no, you don't want to do that, because it's one person, one vote, and putting it in that outer envelope, just one inner envelope in the outer envelope, makes it more secure, and that your vote will be then counted. We don't want anything to trip up the counting of your ballot. So that's really key, is just be very careful and take your time while you're filling it out.
We heard earlier about issues related to late delivery of mail. That was an issue during the primary in August in some cases. Is there any indication so far how the Postal Service is delivering for the general election?
Yes. Actually, my understanding is that they will, there has been some concern about envelopes that may not have postage paid printed on the envelope. And the understanding from the Secretary of the State's office is that the post office will deliver that mail anyway. If it's election mail, it will go through. So, and as I said, if you're feeling anxious about that, the drop box is definitely secure. It's locked. The only person that can get into it is the town clerk or another election official. So, if you just want to be absolutely sure, use the drop box, but you can feel safe putting it in the mail as well.
Now, say you have requested your absentee ballot and you have it and it's sitting on the kitchen table. That's something you kind of want to fill out and get in as soon as possible, because elections officials have a lot of work to do between now and Election Day.
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, our election officials are working hard in every town to make this a successful election. And we're dealing with a volume of people who will be voting absentee than we've ever had historically in Connecticut. And we're also, you know, I think it's a good thing to remember that we're putting an absentee ballot system on top of a system that is not used to this large a volume. You know, if we had no excused absentee ballot already in place, that would be a slightly different system set up to make it go. So I think we just have to remember that this is a different system than we would be expecting to have for this volume of absentee ballots. So you're right. Town clerks and registrars are trying to be as prepared as they can. I know that, you know, in some of the cities, they're you know, putting the envelopes in boxes so they can be sorted and ready to go so that they're able to, you know, count the votes on Election Day.
Do you have the sense that local officials have all the resources they need to make sure things go smoothly?
I think so. I know that, you know, that obviously in the cities, they're going to need a much larger sort of support system and extra volunteers. The Secretary of the State has a website set up. If you go to myvote.ct.gov/volunteer, then you can sign up. It's actually a general volunteer page for lots of different things, but you can mark that you want to volunteer for elections. And that system is going to be then people's names will be distributed out to the municipalities. But also, if you want to check with your own town clerk or registrars and see if they need help, that's great. The federal government has given some funding from the CARES Act that will provide towns and municipalities to be able to, you know, hire some extra people and bring them in to help with whatever area of the election they need help with. So, there's been a lot of effort put into trying to make it run smoothly with the expectation that there would be this high volume, which we're experiencing now.
Now, backing up for a moment, the League of Women Voters was one of the federal plaintiffs earlier this year that sought to expand vote by mail in Connecticut. Did you get everything you wanted?
The lawsuit was specifically to make sure that we could get COVID as an excuse for the absentee balloting as we had in the primary. And yes, we got what we wanted, which is why the lawsuit did not go forward. Once the legislature passed the legal language to allow the no excuse absentee ballot for this November election, we will still be, the League of Women Voters of Connecticut will still be working hard to, in the next legislative session, to try to get the wheels of government going so that we can have early voting and no excuse absentee voting, which takes a little bit of a process. You know, the legislature has to vote on it, and then a ballot question will go to the citizens of Connecticut to agree to a change in the language of the Constitution. So that's why sometimes people say, why don't we have this already? It's because it's in our Constitution and we need to go through the usual process when you're making a change to the Constitution. So we're good for this November, but we'll have to do some more work for the future.
Now, in addition to maybe changing how the absentee ballot process works in the future, would the League of Women Voters also support some sort of early voting mechanism? I know early voting is already underway in a number of states around the country. And again, as you noted, that's something that has to be changed in the state constitution.
Yes. And we would definitely be in favor of that. We're always looking for voting to be as accessible as possible for everyone. And early voting allows people who you know, have jobs and where they can't necessarily get to vote on a, you know, on a Tuesday in November. And so we just want it to be something that every citizen feels is easy, accessible, safe, and that way we are hoping that would increase the number of people who vote. Currently, we all know nationally and in Connecticut that not all the voters vote, or all the people eligible to vote. So we would hope to have lots of ways that people could take their part in their democracy.
History tells us that presidential years always see higher voter turnout. Is there any indication how high that turnout might be this year in Connecticut?
You know, if you were to look at the absentee ballot, the numbers of absentee ballots, I would think that it's going to be a very, there's going to be an increase in what we've seen in previous years. It's kind of hard to gauge because some of the people who have voted absentee this year probably would have gone in and voted in person in a different year. So it's a little hard, it's a little early to tell if that's an indicator of more in-person voters as well. But my suspicions are that it is. We're also seeing a lot more activism among citizens wanting to know more about, you know, the League of Women Voters. We have a lot of voter education information, and we've been getting contacted by a number of other organizations and groups who want to share that information with their members. And so I think the interest is definitely higher this year than it has been in the past.
You're listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Carol Reimers. She is president of the League of Women Voters of Connecticut. We've been talking a lot about absentee voting, but tell us how things are going to look differently if you decide to vote in person this November.
Well, I'm really glad you asked, because I know there's a lot of people who would like to continue to vote in person. As one person expressed to me, I just like the feeling of seeing that I've written out my vote and it goes in the machine and I know I voted and I get my I voted sticker and I feel very pleased with myself. So I think that there's a lot of people who'd like to do that. Some people just feel that they feel it's more secure that they can actually see their ballot being counted. So I think that there will be a lot of people who will still opt, you know, as long as they're not at risk for COVID, that they'll still opt to go in person. And I think they'll see, as we did in the primary, that the polling places are being very carefully sanitized. There's being extra attention to wearing masks and making sure that the environment that people are voting in is safe health-wise, as well as secure, you know, for the vote. So I really encourage people, if you want to vote in person, to not feel nervous about it. And you can always check with your town. You can call up your registrar of voters and just sort of ask what precautions they're taking if you're concerned. But I know that from our reports from the primary that everyone was quite pleased who went and voted in person.
And I know you can still vote in person even if you have requested an absentee ballot, but it seems this year probably more than ever it's important to have a plan for what you're going to do to vote.
Yes. Every election, we encourage people to have a plan. It sort of sounds simplistic, but if you actually think to yourself, I know I have to work from 8 to 5. I'll either go after work and I'll make sure that I get there before the polls close at 8. So I think just like that with absentee ballots, it's the same thing. If you want to vote by absentee, you should have sent your application in. If you haven't done that yet, you can get an application from the Secretary of the State's website and just download that and fill it in and send it into your town. Also, then once the town clerk gets it, then they will check to see if you are a registered voter, and then they will send you an absentee ballot. And then you can, as you said, if it's sitting on your kitchen table, I encourage you to fill it in now and send it in if this is the way you want to vote. If for some reason you suddenly think, you know, I really would like to vote in person, you could just, you know, dispose of that ballot, you know, tear it up or throw it away or whatever, and come in person so that you still have that option if you haven't mailed it in. Once you mail it in or drop it in the drop box, then the town will count your vote and you will have be considered as having voted for this election in November.
There have been some issues that have cropped up so far in Connecticut related to absentee ballots. I believe in Vernon this past week, 100 or so ballots went out with the wrong candidates on them. I know there have been some mailing issues related to the mailing house that the state has used to send out the applications. How concerned are you that these are just minor blips, or is this a more nefarious issue going on?
I don't believe it's anything nefarious. I mean, I think everyone is working really hard to adapt to, as I said earlier, sort of a new system, a new way of voting with this many absentee ballots being requested and being sent out. And because, you know, we're trying to put a new system on top of an older system that is not prepared for it, there are going to be some mistakes and human error, but I think there, you know, at least right now, we still have a lot of time to remedy those errors and to make sure that if something has been discovered to need to be redone, like a ballot, that there's time to do that. You know, I think we all need to be patient this year. It's going to be probably take longer to count the votes because of the number of absentee ballots. And I think we just, you know, I know it's, people get excited. It's a presidential election year. It's very, you know, lots of things are in the news. People are talking about all different ways of voting and what's going to happen. And I think, you know, we really urge as League of Women Voters to realize that the town clerks and the election officials, as I said earlier, are really trying to do the best job they can. Mistakes happen. You know, we're human. Nothing's going to be perfect. But I think if we all agree to be patient and understanding and, you know, if we see something that we think is an error, obviously, you know, go to your town and ask about it or contact the Secretary of the State's office if you have a real concern that you think they may not know about. But again, like I said, I think with respect to that they're working very hard to do what they are doing. And like I said, it may take a few days. So let's all, you know, chill out and be ready to find out what the vote is, even if it takes a day or two.
I know some people get excited seeing these national headlines about voting issues in other parts of the country, but a lot of those issues may not apply to Connecticut because, you know, each state has its own system. And in Connecticut, we are very decentralized.
Exactly. You know, when I talk to some of the other league people who live in other states, you know, they're surprised that we don't vote by county, that we vote by individual towns and cities. So I think it's, again, something for us to be aware of. When you read something that feels sort of gets you sort of nervous or upset, you know, check out and make sure whether it's something that is happening in another state and doesn't even apply to Connecticut. And, you know, I think the national news, while it's important to know what's going on with the candidates who are running for, you know, federal office, like the president and the Congress, it's also important to know what happens in your own state. And so I agree with you completely that we need to be aware that Connecticut may not handle voting in the same way as another state, Georgia or California or Wisconsin. There's, you know, lots of different voting systems in each of those states.
That's a perfect segue. What advice do you have for voters when it comes to getting accurate information, not only about the candidates on the ballot, but about voting itself? because there have been warnings about misinformation being out there, especially as we get closer to Election Day.
I can tell you that you can go to the League of Women Voters, our state website. We have a lot of voting information up for voters, and we're constantly updating it as needed. And that is lwvct.org. There's a website that is run by the National League of Women Voters, but there is a section on Connecticut, and it has a lot of information there, and it's called vote411.org. And we have this year, the Connecticut League has invited candidates running for state, the state offices in the General Assembly to supply their information and answer some questions in our voter's guide. So I encourage you to go there. You can find out we are nonpartisan, so we don't support candidates or political parties. So the information we're sharing is what they have given us. But I think it might be helpful if you're still on the fence about which candidate you'd like to vote for. So I encourage you to look for our resources if you need them.
And to the cynic who says, well, you know, it's a presidential election year. There are going to be tens of millions of votes cast. Does my single vote really make a difference? Remind us that, you know, we're also talking about local elections that often have very slim margins.
You're absolutely right. It's true that we think, you know, again, like I said, the excitement always seems to be on the federal and national races. But we have, as I just mentioned, the General Assembly, both the state senators and state representatives are up for election this year. And that's very important to the state of Connecticut and what our future is. And in some cases, there's local officials being elected. So I think that sometimes we look at what's on social media and television and think, well, that's really what we should care about. But I really believe that we should be looking closer to home and caring about who we elect locally and who we elect in our state.
You mentioned social media. Should people maybe assess things they see on social media with an extra degree of caution?
Absolutely. We are, in fact, we've been promoting that people be careful about disinformation. Unfortunately, social media is a wonderful system for us to communicate with each other, but it also is a system that is fraught with lots of misinformation and disinformation. So we encourage people that if you see something that you like or even you dislike and you want to share it, please look first to see where it came from and that it's factually based. And I think if it's something that you're unsure of, it's recommended that you don't even respond to it, by don't even dislike it, you know, just leave it alone and not spread it. Because the more, even when you dislike something, it still gets spread more by the bots and other things that are, you know, manipulating communications on social media. So just be very smart and make sure you double check. Just because it feels good or you agree with what's being said, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's factual. So please be careful.
She is Carol Reimers, president of the League of Women Voters of Connecticut. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. I was grateful to be invited and look forward to the election on November 3rd.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.